He's live from his mother's basement in Los Angeles, our 400-pound celebrity insider and entertainment lawyer. It's NT Lawyer on Katie and Ed.
NT!
Hola!
Hi! Welcome back to the show.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. I appreciate it. Much like Olivia Rodrigo probably appreciated Taylor Swift's hug.
Oh, I'm so jealous.
Oh my God. Of which one?
Olivia Rodrigo and I had a really, we had a like a fangirl moment when we interviewed her about Taylor Swift. So I felt very seen in that moment.
Will her career go down into the toilet? Because think about everybody that Taylor Swift has given a hug to, whether it's like Lorde or Haim or whatever. Now Olivia Rodrigo, will we hear from her ever again?
Oh my God.
Haim win a Grammy?
Who?
Come on, you know who Haim is.
I actually don't know. I know the name. I don't know their music. I haven't heard the term hug used in a while. You're talking like a social media hug, right?
No, they had a real hug.
Real life hug.
What?
Yeah, they met at the Brits.
That does not sound legal to me.
Yeah.
Okay. We have a lot to talk about that is not Taylor Swift related, as much as I detest. Let's start with Ben and Jen. I mean, we kind of went over it last week, but it seems like now this is it. Like they went on a vacation together. Matt Damon is even sort of like, well, you know, I'm not going to talk about it. But like, clearly they're back together. Yeah.
Well, I mean, define back together.
Yeah.
You know, what Ben Affleck has learned during the pandemic is how to have a publicity relationship. You know, before the first time when we first had Bennifer, that was a real relationship that got out of control and essentially destroyed Ben Affleck's career. But what he learned in the pandemic from Ana de Armas is, hey, you know, I can be with somebody and jack it up and make it look really all publicity, because that's all that relationship was, is, oh, okay, we're going to go out and walk the dogs and everything, and Anna's called the paparazzi and all of this kind of stuff. And, you know, and then we have the Jennifer Lopez. How's everybody going to know that we're together? Well, what we'll do is we'll call a paparazzi. Jen, you roll down the window of your car. Let's take a picture. We're going to go to Montana. Well, we got to make sure, because we're going to Montana on a private jet. Nobody will know we're there. Well, we better make sure that somebody knows we're here, you know, so we can get some photos taken. So are they back together? You know, they could be, you know, I mean, but for sure what they are is, hey, what can we do to make sure that we have the world's attention on us? And like I said, you know, whatever, 6-7 weeks ago before all this happened, other than you know, maybe Brad and Jen, what is going to get the entire world talking about a relationship?
And okay, but let me ask you something.
Jennifer Lopez.
Because they like really didn't talk a lot about the breakup like back in 2004 or whatever until like years later. But they both of them have said the reason they split was because it was too much attention. There was too much publicity. They didn't realize what, you know, their relationship would turn into. So now it's the opposite. They're getting together specifically so that people will talk about them.
Hey, the reason they split is because that Ben Affleck loved hookers from a Vancouver strip club.
Yeah.
That's why they broke up.
Facts.
Okay. Fair enough. All right.
It's in Vancouver. It's above the Keg downtown. And, you know, I forget what it's called now. And Ben would go over there, have some strippers, decide which ones he wanted to take back to his hotel. And then Jen just got tired of that.
Mm. Totally. Wow. Okay. So are we going to see another like orchestrated paparazzi shoot with them soon? Is this going to be like a weekly occurrence or?
No, I think for sure. I think it's going to be a weekly occurrence. You know, they'll see each other on the front page of the tabloid. Yes, it was way too much. I think also one of the things was Ben Affleck was not making $15 million a movie. And yeah. Jennifer Lopez was draining his bank account at a precipitous rate.
Yeah.
Oh, you want me to buy you a Bentley? Okay. Oh, you want me to buy you this $400,000 jewelry? Okay. You want this? You want this? I mean, that's what it was. And if you listen to Matt Damon from back then, he goes, it was out of control. You know, and Ben Affleck was drinking more and stuff. This has a recipe for disaster.
Yeah.
But at the same time, both of them have thirst factors that are over the top. I saw somebody said the other day, it almost feels like Ben Affleck is good looking again, and perhaps the back tattoo will magically disappear.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, the back tattoo. Yes.
The phoenix.
The back tattoo.
Or the tiger or whatever it is. Okay. All right. Fair enough.
So Ellen was canceled by the collective world. But now, yeah, apparently she's officially canceling herself in the old school way. Does this have anything to do with some of the scandal?
It has everything to do with
it. But she insists it doesn't.
No, 100% it was. And she came back and finally goes back in the air, has a million less viewers. You know, they're not going to stick around. The original plan, though, was to give Twitch the show. But there was just so few people watching it, and I think that they finally just decided, well, we're not even going to have a show, and yeah, we'll let Ellen just have her, you know, 1 year going away thing. But yeah, it's because nobody wanted to watch her. Everybody realized what a horrible person she was, and I've told you guys that for, you know, 2 years or however long I've been coming on the show.
So wait, they expected Twitch to carry that show?
That was the idea that they said, well, you know, that's why they gave him the shot at guest hosting. They thought, okay. And also, don't forget, he is a very important part of the Disney family because he does the wedding and engagement shows with his wife. So, I mean, he's kind of a big part. So they said, okay, well, you know, we'll give it a shot. And the ratings weren't great with it. It was just him either, because people are just so turned off to anything that has the name Ellen in it. It wasn't going to happen. You know, Kelly Clarkson is the thing, and you got Drew Barrymore for your afternoon wine backup.
Yeah, all right.
Okay.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
I just want to touch on this too, because she was on the Today Show or whatever, Ellen was, and she said that now she's saying those workplace, you know, toxicity allegations were orchestrated and misogynistic. And
misogynistic?
We kind of knew that she didn't care that much when she apologized and made like a monologue out of it. And it was kind of like, bleh.
Yeah.
But now she's sort of turning it and saying that, like, oh, you know, it wasn't my fault. How was I supposed to know? There's so many employees. Kind of like a weird thing to say, I guess. I don't know. It just, I was shocked that that's how she... the way she took it.
Yeah, she's just trying to spin it any way she can. But okay, you don't have to return dogs to the kennel. You don't have to yell at your employees. Oh, I had this toxic culture. I didn't know that I was yelling to my employees. I didn't know that I was being horrible to them. Oh, I didn't know that I was being horrible to the employees at my house. Oh, I didn't know that I was this. I didn't know that everybody in Los Angeles was talking about me and how horrible I am. Oh, that's shocking.
All right, NT Lawyer, our celebrity insider, we've talked to you, especially over the last few months, about Chrissy Teigen when she left Twitter and then she came back to Twitter. And like, you have your feelings about Chrissy Teigen. Now Courtney Stodden has been involved. Can you explain, for anyone who may not know who that is, explain who Courtney Stodden is?
Courtney Stodden was a 16-year-old bride of Doug Hutchison. Who was in The Green Mile or something like that.
Yeah. It's like the only movie he was in.
I know. And he was 51 or something at the time, and he started actually grooming her when she was 15. And that's how she became famous, because her mom said, yeah, there's nothing wrong with a 51-year-old marrying a 16-year-old. So they get married, and now she's basically, you know, does OnlyFans. She's been a reality star, but she makes her money, you know, getting naked. When Courtney, when 16 years old, Chrissy Teigen essentially told her to kill herself,
Should
take a dirt nap, that all of these other kind of things. And what we learned in the Daily Beast article was Courtney Stodden said also that Chrissy would send Courtney DMs, which were even worse, essentially saying, please kill yourself, you deserve to die, all of these kind of things. And this is not exclusive to Courtney Stodden. Kevinsey Wallace, when she was 9, Chrissy called her the C word. Also said that, should we be cheering on a 9-year-old? Can 9-year-olds be cocky? She slammed Farrah Abraham, told her that she was a, you know, awful person. All of these kind of things. Chris, and if any of these things, can you imagine if people told Chrissy Teigen in a direct message to take a dirt nap or to kill yourself, oh my gosh, we'd have victim for years. She'd be saying, oh my gosh, I can't live, oh, all of these things. Chrissy Teigen will never apologize unless completely forced to by the threat of a loss of a job, because you can't apologize and be a victim too at the same time.
Hey!
Chrissy Teigen, whether you, there's two people, there, you either love her, you're a hater. Everybody knows I'm on the hater spectrum. Everybody knows that. She is the thirstiest individual that has ever walked this earth. Julia Roberts, I don't know if you guys have ever seen it, but the thing when they did the Fast Times at Ridgemont High, and there's a whole group of people, and John Legend's in it, Brad Pitt,
yeah.
And Julia Roberts, everybody's in it. Chrissy Teigen walks in before they start and just, oh, hi, I'm sorry, I didn't know you guys were doing that. First of all, you did. Julia Roberts called you out on it and said, oh, is that what you usually wear when you're walking around the house doing nothing? And John Legend goes, oh, she's not doing anything today. And Julia Roberts is like, that's not my doing nothing look. Is that yours, Jen's? And Jen goes, that's not mine, you know, and just called her out for being the thirstiest person in the whole world, because that's what she is. And she can't stay away from Twitter. She can't stay away from social media. And the thing is that the people who defend her, they're not coming out and saying, oh, she shouldn't have done that to Courtney Stodden, because, you know, Courtney Stodden is just somebody who's basically a porn star, so we don't need to defend her. Oh, Kevenzie Wallace, oh, that was a long time ago. You know, she was 9, and I'm sure she didn't mean it. But the same people that push Chrissy Teigen off Twitter, they're like, oh, I can't believe you pushed such a nice person off of Twitter.
Yeah.
If everybody had said all of these things to Chrissy Teigen, like take a dirt nap, she would have sicked all of her millions of followers on those people and tried to cancel them. Just like she canceled the person from the New York Times who got her fired and everything. How come Chrissy Teigen's not being fired for any of this?
Yeah.
Yeah,
the only reason she's famous is because of John Legend. She'd still be carrying somebody's briefcase or being some guy's, you know, whatever.
Is she going to lose her brand deals because of this? Or is it like, because Courtney Stodden went on Instagram and was like, yeah, I didn't get any apology. Like, I'm blocked, so I don't know what she's saying. So is Chrissy apologizing just so that she doesn't lose her, you know, cookware line with Target or whatever?
Yeah, she would if she was in danger of that. But the thing is Target's like, Courtney Stodden, you know, she's basically, you know, they don't care. I think if the Kevenzie Wallace thing was pushed, and if the fact that she called a 9-year-old the C word, I think that that would do some damage. But, you know, I just...
You know, say what you will about Courtney Stodden, because, like, I thought that whole thing was so creepy, and their parents are, like, the scummiest people on earth for letting it happen. But you know what? I moved on with my life. Like, it had no bearing on my life, and I don't understand why Chrissy would have to act that way towards people.
I don't either. And honestly, you know, I have met Courtney Stodden several times, and I think that she's a very lovely person. So,
okay.
She's never been anything but nice to me. I've had lots of other people run into her. She is troubled. She has a lot of issues, but she has been nothing but incredibly nice every time that I met her.
We are on with our celebrity insider, NT Lawyer, exclusive to Katie and Ed, and Colton Underwood. Was he blackmailed into coming out?
No.
Because that's what he's saying.
Of course he's saying that. Why is he saying that? Because he's not a sympathetic character. How many times have I come on here, Katie, and you're like, look at what he did. Look what he did. Look what he did. He's an abuser.
Brave.
He's horrible. You know, all these kind of things, right?
Yeah.
And we've always talked about that. And even like Lance Bass said, oh, he's coming out for money? Everyone's like, he's coming out for money. He's coming out for money. Like I told you, he's coming out for money. Because, okay, I can't make any money during the pandemic, so I'm going to come out. And everyone's like, that's a horrible way to come out. You're coming out for money? Oh, I need to come up with something new. Because don't forget, his Netflix show is about, oh, I'm learning how to be gay. I'm learning to do things because I've never done any gay activities before. and that's the whole thing, right? That's what he was talking about.
Yeah.
I need to be more sympathetic. Here's what I'll do. I'm going to say that I was blackmailed, that somebody took some nude photos, you know, at a gay bathhouse. Oh, wait, I was at a gay bathhouse. Oh, I was there. I shouldn't have been there. I didn't know why I was there. I just decided to go. And I got naked while I was there, but I had never been, and I shouldn't have been there. Some guy took some photos of me and then somehow got my email address. Oh, and then he sent them to me and decided to blackmail me. So I went to my publicist and came out, this is a good, good backstory for your Netflix show, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, how about this? How about because you went to your publicist and came out, then the blackmail's not going to work. So go ahead and show us the email then.
So seems like...
Or blackmail. Oh, well, I can call the FBI. It's extortion or whatever. Now that I've decided to come out, I'll just turn these people over to the cops. Did you do that?
Well, so, no, anti-lawyer, no. you're saying that, like, they're trying to push the narrative that he's, like, a first-time gay person. Like, I have no idea what I... Kind of like they pushed on The Bachelor when he was a virgin. Remember how much they pushed it? Like, he's never had sex before. He's so innocent.
Yeah.
So it's almost like gives him a softer edge. Is that kind of what they're going for, like, in his camp?
Yeah, exactly. Or, hey, I'm a victim. I'm a victim.
Yeah.
Yes, Cassie and all this kind of stuff. Oh, tracking device. I'm a victim. Mm-hmm. That's why you guys can get on board with me, because I'm a victim. This is what happened, and I'm just learning. You know, meanwhile, in West Hollywood, everybody's like, he hooked up with so-and-so, he hooked up with so-and-so. I mean, if you go look at my blind items before he came out, and, you know, I couldn't say exactly who it was, although I made it pretty clear, it's like, yeah, he might be a virgin heterosexually, but he's not a virgin homosexually.
Yeah. Okay.
Wow.
So it's all just, you got to have a story. And nobody was buying it. Nobody was being sympathetic. Nobody liked him. So how can you like him? I'm a victim. I wasn't planning on coming out. It wasn't my thing. I was going to take my own journey and all this kind of stuff. It's just Hollywood.
Okay, one last Hollywood headline that we saw this week that we want to touch on with you, anti-lawyer, our celebrity insider, and that is Seth Rogen talking about James Franco. So when the allegations, the first time, like what, in 2014 or whatever it was, when James Franco was messaging like young girls on social media, you know, Seth Rogen came out on SNL and like made the joke that, you know, he was catfishing him, har, har, har. We all sort of forgot about it, and then, you know, 4 years later, all those students of James Franco's were like, hey, he intimidated us into sexual acts, you know, as a teacher, and Seth Rogen distanced himself. So, like, what are they really, or is their relationship over now?
No. Literally, as we speak, you know, Seth Rogen's like, oh, I'm not going to work with him anymore. They are producing the Pam and Tommy thing together.
Really? Look,
they are working together on that. And here's the thing, is that there's three different production companies, of which one of them is Seth Rogen's, and he is working also with James Franco on it. At one point, because Seth is being called out for all of this stuff, and, you know, because Seth Rogen's got his own issues, because, you know, there's these whole things with Emma Watson and, you know, her getting really felt uncomfortable, and Seth Rogen and James Franco making fun of him. You have Charlene Yee saying, hey, Seth Rogen's just as much of an enabler as James Franco, and I wanted to quit the Disaster Artist. All of these actresses are now saying, you know, Seth Rogen's just as much of a part of it. And so Seth is like, okay, well, I got this pot company. I got this kind of thing. So I'm not going to work with James Franco. Yeah. So if you go look at Pam and Tommy, one of the things they did was they changed it from James Franco for a couple of days on IMDb to Dave Franco.
Yeah, I see that now.
Change it.
And, wow.
And so they did that. So that way it wouldn't look like James Franco. But 3 days earlier or whatever, it had been James Franco. And he's still working. He's still the one credited where it matters. And so for Seth Rogen to say that is a bunch of crap. And Seth Rogen knows he's in a lot of trouble right now because, you know, he's the one who said that rape could be funny and all of this kind of stuff and had the whole rape scene in a movie and tried to defend that, hey, rape can be a really funny thing. And everyone's like, no, it really can't. And then you have Emma Watson saying, well, you're basically a creep. And, you know, you support creeps and you enable them and you work with them. So Seth Rogen saying, okay, well, what can I do? Well, I got this book coming out. What I'm going to do is I'm going to throw Tom Cruise under a bus and get people talking about that. So I'm going to start talking about how Tom Cruise is an anti-Semite and friends with Louis Farrakhan and all this kind of stuff. And people start talking about that and less about the fact that I'm, you know, lying to them about working with James Franco.
Wow.
Okay.
I mean, James Franco is gross and I want him to disappear forever. And I'm sad that I was really hoping that you would say Seth Rogen was telling the truth when he said that, so that's disappointing.
I mean, if it helps,
he has never done anything with Dave Franco, and all of a sudden Dave Franco shows up at IMDb. And the thing is that this, I got to be careful how I say this, but I sent a message to somebody who's also involved in making this, and I said, that's really embarrassing that you guys are a part of this and all of this. And then 2 days later is when it went from James Franco to Dave Franco. So, I think they knew that I was going to start calling them out on it a bunch. And they tried to do what they could, at least, you know, behind the scenes and stuff.
Okay.
So, wow.
Anyway.
Our celebrity insider, NT Lawyer, exclusive to Katie and Ed. What is what you're known for is your world famous blinds. What do you got for us this week?
Okay, this one would be super easy if I just kind of said it as it is. I know Katie always says they're hard. But this one's super easy. This one's super easy. But it's coming, I'm going to tell you right away, it's coming from the perspective of somebody who's on the MTV Challenge show. Not the OG one, just the normal kind of one. And she's at this A-plus list, mostly movie actors house. And she's not wearing any clothes. She's in bed. It's about 11:30, 11:45, something like that, in the morning. And all of a sudden, the actor goes, "Oh my God, you have to get up. You have to get dressed." And she goes, "Oh, okay." And so she gets up. She can't find her bra anywhere. She just throws on a shirt because she doesn't have time to get into the dress that she was wearing last night. So she throws on a shirt. And he goes, "No, you got to find." Anyway, she doesn't have time. So she's in a shirt. He goes, "Come on, we got to go out to the living room. Go out to the living room." And meanwhile, I guess he has let a person in through his gate and everything. And this person, from what she was able to figure out, well, first of all, this person that came in is an A-list mostly movie actor, dual threat actress, but more famous for television, but only does movies. Well, no, she does both now. But you guys all know her. Everybody, every listener, everybody knows her. A-list actress. And she comes in and she goes, oh, okay. I wasn't expecting this. They're not together, but the actor apparently had said, "Hey, whenever you," he said, "you know, I love when you make me lunch," or something like that. So this actress had come over to make him lunch, and it was incredibly awkward. And I guess the actress had the impression that perhaps this was going to be more of a date rather than, "Hey, I'm just going to come over and see my friend." And it was extremely awkward. And the actress and the actor have had a relationship in the past, a long relationship in the past. So I think that she thought, "Oh, well, he's interested in having me come over and do this." And now it's awkward. And the thing is, so the challenge star, she said, "I'll just leave." But the problem is that she had come over in his car, the actor's car, the night before. So he had to call her an Uber and stuff, and while they're waiting for the Uber, and then she goes and she finds her dress and all of this kind of stuff, and very, very awkward.
Whoa!
With the giggle at the end, too.
Yeah, you know what you've done. Okay. NC, we'll try and sort through that one and figure out what the hell you're talking about. And as always, thanks for being on the show. We'll talk to you next week.
Yeah.
Have a great weekend, guys.
You too.
Bye.
Bye.